The Lord. I will be doing prayer requests and announcements tonight. So all I've got is that a couple of us started school today. And that went well for us. So what do y'all?
So my technician that had to have a stance, his name's Tim, he had to have 4 stents in total. But he's doing well, and they're hoping he can come back to work sometime mid-week next week, which will be good. But I lost a tire, got some. And this has been one of my busiest tire weeks I've had in a long time. So.
And he is doing better. He's weaning off his blood pressure medicine, but they still have to purge his lungs, and his kidneys are still invaded. A long road for him, but he is definitely getting a lot better, which is big praise.
There was a young lady in my swim team that lost consciousness today.
We thank you that James is doing better with his lungs and his kidneys, Lord. We pray that you continue to heal him and keep his family safe, and keep our eyes on you, Lord, to let them know that it'll all be all right. We pray for the young lady on the swim team that fell unconscious at the pool today, Lord. We pray that you heal her. We pray that she has a speedy recovery, and just make sure that everything's okay, Lord. We pray for Ben and his travel to Albuquerque and help him be safe while he's lifting all that lumber. Just help him have a safe trip down there and back, and give him the strength to do that, Lord. And we praise your name that Scott and Jamie are pregnant. So hopefully we pray that that goes smoothly and that they deliver a really nice baby, Lord. We thank you for this time tonight, and I thank you for gathering us all together, Lord. I pray that we listen to Michael's sermon well. Open our ears, open our hearts, and open our eyes, Lord, to you. I pray that we all take something from tonight and use it for the rest of our lives, Lord. On your son's name, we pray. Amen.
Luke 22, that's where we're going to start tonight. You know, as we get back to starting school for a lot of our kids this week, I love the newness of a school year. I love the beginning, and there's two things I love about back to school. Two very specific things. Number one is the first day of school pictures. If you're on Facebook, you saw Garrett's first day of school pictures today. Now, his mother texted me, just me, she put the two, his sophomore and his senior year pictures side by side. Now, those two pictures are just 1 year apart, but it was amazing to see the growth. Garrett's as tall as the door, and he's just, it was just a little boy to a young man in that 1 year. So I love seeing everybody's first posting their first day of school pictures and just seeing the kids' growth and just the smiles on their faces. There's one more thing, and maybe just because I'm in the classroom, there's one more thing I love about back to school. New tennis shoes. I love the new tennis shoes on all those kids. They're so bright. They were so bright white today. They were clean. Now, I know that by Halloween, they're going to stink. They're going to be awful, and they're going to be horrible. So I really have to imprint in my mind and in my olfactory glands how good everybody's shoes smell on day one. I really have to appreciate that. And I love the excitement of new, and when you see a kid who has that new backpack and those new shoes, and you just get to notice it and tell them, say, hey, I really like that backpack, and they just, hey, it's new. We had some new students come into the district this year, and one of my students, she won my favorite shoes of the day award. She had on new shoes, and they were fancy, and they were colorful, and they were all over the place. And I said, you win. You have the best shoes I have seen today. And she was just, I just got them. And she just, oh, that new is exciting. Well, tonight I wanted us to look at the things in the New Testament that Jesus says, here's the new that I'm giving to you. And I know that for us as Christians, that we experience the newness of Christ on a daily basis. But at the same time, I also know that we tend to let ourselves get crusty. We tend to let ourselves get kind of, oh, just worn thin. And we forget. And so I thought tonight would be a good reminder of the new things that Jesus has brought to us. The first one's in Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, if you'll take a look at about verse 14, Jesus takes something old and he turns it into something new. Now that's the amazing thing about Jesus. That's why I love following Jesus, because there's nothing else. I mean, you can put those new shoes on the kid, but by 6 o'clock tonight, those kids still need a shower and still need to wash their feet. There's new on the outside, but there's, you know, there's still stinky feet inside. But Jesus comes and he takes that old thing and he says, I'm doing something new with it. And so he takes Passover. And in verse 14, when the hour came, he reclined at table, the apostles with him. He said, I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you, that is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant in his blood. So Jesus says, this cup, this fruit of the vine represents something brand new. Brand new. In fact, he connects it with two things. He said, it is a new covenant, and it is connected to my blood. So when we think about the blood of Christ, what usually just goes right there? No, just the blood of Christ. What does that bring to your heart and to your mind? Washed away. Forgiveness of sins. Yeah. And so he says, this new covenant is connected to my blood. I'm about to go and I'm about to give my life so that you will receive forgiveness. So, how does forgiveness make us new? How does forgiveness make us new? The burden is lifted, okay? The burden of what? Or what specifically is the burden that's being lifted? Okay. All right. Restoring the relationship so that you can show your face again. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Uh-huh. Yeah. There you go, Kevin. Yeah, the idea and the, excuse me, and the knowledge that Jesus faced that punishment for our sins. And in doing so, we now have the forgiveness, being filled with the Spirit of God, being able to walk close to God, having the burden and the weight of our sins that presses down upon us so lifted, cleansed, washed away, all of those things, and that makes us new. That makes us new. I love the psalm, the steadfast love of the Lord. We sing the song and we get it from the Psalms. the steadfast love of the Lord. It's the mercies of God. They're new every morning. I get up today and it's a new day and God looks at me and says, all right, new chance, fresh start, shake an Etch-a-Sketch, whatever it is that you, that mental picture that you have. I get up today and the Lord is looking at me, not saying, well, I really blew it yesterday. But the Lord is looking at me saying, today is new and it's fresh and it's clean. It's a new start and a new opportunity. Let's go. That's exciting. That's exciting. That was, I got moved this year. And you never know, because the beginning of school for some kids is always an exciting time because they're not in that classroom with those teachers that have known them for 9 months. Hey, it's me. First day of school. I'm a new student. I'm getting to know you. You're getting to know me. You have no idea how much trouble I'm going to cause you this year, but today it's new. Lane has not stopped nodding his head. He's like, yeah, new teacher, new adult to wear out. I got it. I was pleasantly surprised because I got to be moved up with the kids that I didn't get to finish the school with last year. And so I got moved up, and so I'm their sixth grade teacher, where I was their fifth grade teacher last year, and they were excited about it. And I thought, well, that says, I was walking through the hall this morning, and one of the kids, I guess, hadn't looked at their schedule, and they went, oh, Mr. Park is in our hall. They were excited. And that's what I like to do in my classroom, and I've had lots of opportunities, not only with my own children, but with my students, to say, hey, whatever happened, today can be good. Whatever trouble you got into yesterday, today is a new day. And I love that our Father in heaven looks at us and says, whatever trouble you got into, I'm not going to remind you of your mistakes. I'm going to give you a fresh start, a new day, a clean slate. I'm going to forgive your sins. That's what we have in Jesus Christ, and that is an awesome thing. Let's turn over to John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, Jesus gives us something else new. John 13, go down to 31. He says, I'm giving you a new command, new rule, new rule. Love it when they change the rules, don't you? I mean, sometimes it actually works out in your favor, not always. Most of the time when someone says, okay, new rules, it's usually another responsibility that we have to add onto our lives. But Jesus says in verse 31, when he had gone out, now is the Son of Man glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while and I'm with you. You'll seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. So he is preparing them for this time when he would pay the penalty for our sin. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. That's how you love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So, let's share for a minute. How is love a new command? How is loving one another a new command? Because I'm thinking, wait a minute, God's always been about love. How is Jesus coming along and saying, new rule, love? How is this a new command? Okay. Okay. All right. So you connect the newness of the love to the fact that it follows his new example. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So basically what we find the promise that, the Apostle Paul would write and say, look, the law didn't fail, but we failed the law. The law was meant for good, but we took something good that God gave us and turned it into something bad. And then of course Jesus would come along and his, His harshest words were for those who took pride in following the commands of God the strictest. And he said, you guys have a fine way of what? Washing the outside of the cup? But inside, it's disgusting. Oh, it looks good when you hold it up, but don't look inside because it's horrible in there. He said, you've got a fine way of checking off your Christian, not Christian at that time, but your spiritual scorecard and say, you know, we do this and we do this and we do this. And he said, what? You forgot the actual important things behind those rules. It wasn't the fact that you were saying, okay, I am tithing a specific religious percentage of what I made in my job today and I am offering up to God. He said, well, you got the details, but you forgot the heart behind the details. The following and giving to God is not something that we point to say, look how good I am. What God is hoping for is that all of our giving and all of our love, just like the example of Jesus, our giving is a response to the giving that God has given to us. Our love is a response to the love that Jesus has shown us. Yes? Okay. So it really is new. It really is new. So instead of being held to an impossible set of rules, we love others. We love others like Jesus loves us. And how does Jesus love? We don't hurt other people. We don't hurt other people. So what do? We help other people. We put others' needs above our own. We look out for the good of others. We don't just go through reducing what God has poured out upon us into a transactional relationship. And that's what they had done. I did this good thing for God, so God is happy with me, but I messed up and fell short of this thing over here for God, so God is mad at me, right? It's very transactional. For Jesus to come along and say, hey, here's a new covenant. Here's my new promise to you. Here's the new contract, the new deal I'm making with you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now, here's a new commandment that I'm giving you, a new rule. It's not a hard rule. It's a simple rule. Love. All right. Okay. So now we are not going around each and every day of our Christian lives trying to keep score and saying, okay, did I do this righteous thing? Did I avoid that sinful thing? We're not thinking in those terms. We've given our hearts completely to God and we're saying, wherever Jesus would be, that's where I'm going to be. However Jesus would serve, that's where I'm going to serve. Whatever Jesus would do for others, I'm going to do the same thing. Why? Because He loves me. He loves me, so now I can love others. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. The Apostle Paul is going to instruct us on putting on the new self. That is our new identity. Colossians chapter 3 verse 5. So, first of all, you have to put to death. You have to kill these things that are earthly in you. If there is something in you that is not of God, it must be struck down. It must be removed. It must be erased. It must be obliterated. It must be wiped out. It must be taken as far away as the east is from the west. Remove it. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Get them out of your life. You are a new person. That's the old person. In fact, he says in verse 6, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. This is why God has to clean house, because of these things. Now, you once walked in these things, your old life before Christ, that's who you were. You were a part of it. But, verse 8, now you put them all away. And now Paul, I love this, he starts the list, he breaks his train of thought, and then he goes back into the list. I wasn't done, I thought of some more stuff you need to get out of your life. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Don't lie to one another. There's more. Get all that stuff out of your life. Well, how am I going to do this? You ever tried not to sin? All right, today I am not going to lose my patience with anyone. I'm just going to be the perfect example of patience. Then one of your kids walks in the room. Ah! Well, that lasted all of 20 seconds, right? Today I'm not going to have any evil thoughts about anybody that I work with. I'm only going to think good things about them. And they come in and say, oh, you've decided to follow Jesus today. Challenge accepted. And, you know, enter into the room, whoever it is that you struggle with. Right? All right, today I'm not going to give in to the water cooler talk. I'm not going to give in to the office gossip. I'm not going to allow myself to be brought down to a negative, horrible level. I'm not going to join in. I'm not going to let any just discouraging, negative, bad language, whatever it is, whatever your struggle is with your mouth and with your words. I'm not going to do it today because I'm not that anymore. That's not who I am. He says, you have put off, in verse 9, the old self with its practices. And you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. You have put on the new self. You sometimes think that Christianity needs a really cool white fur coat. I mean, like floor length, just tall around the neck. You just put it on in the morning and you just, you know, you look good, you feel good. It's going to be a good day. It's kind of like those new shoes, that backpack, right? You put it on. It's just like our kids. Our kids, just they walk down the hall. They just know, yeah, I know these shoes are still clean. Look at me. Garrett got some new shoes. I said, hey, why aren't you wearing any new shoes tonight? He said, well, I don't want to get them dirty. They're still clean. They're new. That's right. We don't want to get it dirty. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but you know, when a kid gets a new pair of shoes, every other kid in the hallway try to get your toes, don't you? And you're going around just, well, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. And they're stopping, they're rubbing. Be careful. Watch it. These are new. Church, what if you and I treated our new self as well as a little kid treats a new pair of tennis shoes? What if you and I walk through our lives saying, whoa, 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 don't stain that. That's not me anymore. I'm not Captain Dirty Shoes. That was last spring. I'm Mr. Do Shoes. Don't step on it. Don't get them dirty. Don't scuff them up. They're new. And so Paul says, look, that's who you are. You threw away the old pair. You put on the new. You put to death the old man, the old identity, the sinful person. That's not who you are anymore. And you've put on this new man, this new identity, this new person. So that's how you're going to walk. That's how you're going to walk. And then he finishes it in verse 10. Renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Your identity in Christ is given to you in splendor. It is not just, oh, okay, well, you're following God now, so, you know, get out there and be good. You're following God now. Here's some things to avoid because they may mess up your life. Uh-uh. We're following God now, walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And we don't have to mess with all that old stuff. It was taken care of. And now we get to walk in all this new stuff. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. Underline it. But Christ is all and in all. Our new identity. The old things of death are gone. The old things of separation are gone. There's the only thing that matters, right? Really the only thing that matters. You want to be controversial? You get a hat or a t-shirt and all you got to do is change one letter. Change the B to a C. Christ's life matters. That's it. That's it. Christ is all and in all. We have been given this new life. Not just, oh, okay, your sins are forgiven, new slate, clean slate. Not just that, but we have been given the new identity of Jesus Christ. As he is in this world, so are we. So I'm no longer just a forgiven Michael trying a little bit harder to do what's right. Some of our young people that became Christians, you didn't get baptized, so you're like, okay, well now I'm a Christian, so I'll be a little bit better for my parents, or I'm going to be a little bit nicer kid to my brothers and sisters. That's not it. Jesus didn't just come along and say, hey, you know, you got a few things wrong with you, and I'm just gonna clean you up a little bit and send you back out there. No. See, when all of us became Christians, when all of us were baptized, and we were given the new identity in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, God says, now Jesus is in you. Go. So that's what matters. Christ is all. He's everything. He's the only thing, and he is in all. So the new self is who we are made in Christ. Finally, one last one. Turn over to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Now that we see the new things that we really have been given and that we really are in Jesus Christ, I love this in Revelation chapter 21, because the newness that is described at the very end of the Bible is just fantastic. Revelation 21 verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. Wow. And then, verse 5, he who was seated on the throne said, behold. In other words, listen up. Here it is. I am making all things new. I'm making all things new. You know that scripture describes Jesus as the first fruits of the resurrection, and then connects us as Christians as part of that. And we look around and sometimes I fear that we have more concern about how dark the world is, and we spend more time and energy focusing on the darkness of the world rather than focusing on the light of God that has been put within us. And you guys know it's true. What you focus on, you will get, right? You focus on negative, you're going to be negative. You focus on positive, even if you're the only one in the room, you're going to be positive. You get what you focus on. And church, we struggle with that. We struggle with I don't know what the word is, not infatuation. But we struggle with our, it's not desire. What? Obsession. Yes, thank you. We struggle with our obsession with how bad the world is. I mean, just listen to your own words that you use when we talk to each other, right? Oh, did you hear what they did? Did you see what happened? Isn't that terrible? Isn't that awful? I mean, in church, look, I know we're supposed to pray for each other and we're supposed to lift each other up, but even our prayer requests, I consider it an awesome day when it's 50-50. I think that's an awesome day, because usually we can't wait to see, okay, I got news about someone that's hurting, dying, falling apart, bad, unfaithful, and all these things. Now, we don't stop lifting people up. We don't stop that at all, because that's who needs our prayers. But again, I think it does something to us. I think it does something to us when, okay, well, here's our list. And that's why, I mean, we prayed Sunday for a place to learn, and it's Wednesday, and praise be to God, answered prayer. There it is. There it is. You know, Jesus says, look, I'm going to show you something. The old earth, the old heavens are going away. The sea, it's going to dry up. It's going to dry up. And coming down from heaven is God's city, his holy city, New Jerusalem. Look what I'm doing. He said, in fact, in doing all these things, I'm going to make everything new. I'm making all things new. What a beautiful, beautiful promise. I'm going to continue on there in verse 5. Behold, I am making all things new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. To the one who conquers, this is your heritage. This is what you receive. You overcome the world. You do not allow the world to overcome you. You overcome the world. Your faith is the victory. And here is your heritage, your inheritance, your gift. This is what I'm giving to you. Now, starting in, verse 8, I got to ask, I was just curious, anything in verse 8 that surprised you? Cowardly? Cowards and murderers. Same list. Yeah, that surprised me too. That was difficult to read. The cowardly, the faithless, sorcerers, liars, murderers, sexually immoral. The second death. Jesus is restoring all of creation. And church, here's what I want us to hear. Jesus is going to restore all of creation to our present and eternal state of new. You've already been made new. You have the new covenant of the blood of Christ. You have the new, very simple command to love others like Jesus loves. You have put on the new identity, which is yours in Christ and which is Christ in you. And Jesus says, kind of like I've done here, there will come a day when I will do here. Well, if that doesn't make you feel like a new pair of tennis shoes, I don't know what will. You may want to spend some time strutting this week. And definitely spend some time not letting anybody step on your toes and scuff up those new tennis shoes. It's good to see you tonight. I'm glad that you're here. Let's close it with a word of prayer, then we'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, we once again praise your holy name for calling us together. Father, we are excited about the new. We're excited to hear your words and to hear who we are in you. And Father, it lifts our hearts. It lifts our shoulders. It strengthens us. It humbles us and just makes us grateful. Blessed be your name, Lord, because it is you who have done all these things for us. It is you who has given us your Son, your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who through our faith has become our Lord and Savior. We pray this week, Lord, that we will spend our time and our energy conforming to your new eternal kingdom. We pray that we will spend our time and our energy being transformed to the new that you have made us, and that we will not conform to the darkness around us. Blessed be your name. Guide our steps in righteousness and holiness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.